Okay, Michael?
Okay, and the next paper is the review of the statistics on the committee's activity, and Fabienne's put this paper together, so she's going to just introduce it.
Agenda paper 14. This paper provides an overview of the committee's activity over the last 3.5 years, that is from January 2008 to May 2011. Over this period, the committee took on an additional role of assisting the ASB with the annual improvements project. Based on the table presented in paragraph 5, we note an increase in overall activity over the period considered. This is mainly due to the involvement of the committee in the annual improvements process since January 2010. The table in paragraph 13 shows the issues considered for annual improvements by cycle for the relevant calendar years. If the committee thinks that regular reporting of the committee's activity would be helpful, we propose a review of statistics on the committee's activity twice a year, and we are also seeking comments and suggestions from the committee to enhance the reporting. So the question is for you. Do you want to receive a summary of activity statistics on a regular basis, and if so, how frequently? And do you have any suggestions for the format of the reporting?
Great. Comments?
Question as to whether this is going to go to the trustees, because I think we asked for you to do this as part of the trustees' review of this committee's effectiveness, so that the trustees had an understanding of what we had done.
Yes, we can certainly provide it as part of any sort of submission that the committee wants to make to the trustees in response to the results of the review of the effectiveness of the committee. And I think it would be very useful to be able to do that to the committee.
Any other comments? Nobody is surprised by the level of our activity or inactivity? Well, at least you've got a factual basis now to make observations that we keep rejecting things because we're not going to reach a consensus or because the board's going to do a project. So, if Scott?
I think this is helpful. I would like to receive it periodically. I got it suggested once a year rather than twice a year, but that seems sufficient. But in any event, I would like to see this periodically. I notice in the table, particularly in paragraph 6, one of the things that has been causing this committee, I think, some disconcern or discontent over the years, where we've done agenda decisions that are, you know, sort of quasi-helpful and not authoritative but persuasive, as I think Bob has put it, the caption is "no action." I'm not sure that that our constituency considers the agenda decisions to be no action, and I would rather the trustees did not consider the agenda decisions to be no action. Perhaps a better caption for that reflects the substance of the non-authoritative but persuasive information that we've provided might be better.
Okay. We'll come up with a better term for you.
If it is no action, we do spend a lot of time taking no action.
Joanna?
I think that this is useful, and as Ruth says, I think that the reason we asked it was to go to the trustees. But I also think that to get it on perhaps an annual basis, and perhaps it fits in with us having, and this isn't the right technical expression, a navel gazing, are we doing what we should be doing on an annual basis? So effectively reviewing ourselves. We're doing that now because it's an external review, but we should be looking to say, are we achieving what we think we should be achieving? And to me, this would be part of having a look at that on an annual basis.
See, this is the sort of thing that we look at from an operating point of view, but now the chief operating decision maker has become the entire committee. Lawrence?
I found this document useful, and I like Scott and Joanna, once a year is probably enough. I also found that the breakdown in Appendix A on page 7 is interesting, because we receive sometimes comments that with the agenda decisions, some criticize us for providing de facto interpretations. And so I see that the number out of the 20 agenda decisions is about 6 for those agenda decisions that might have been taken as de facto interpretation. Now, I found that the breakdown is important. I also noticed that effectively many times we had rejected taking on a project because there is a board project. So this interaction with a board project going on is really important, and I believe that what is really important for our constituents is that we follow up how the board projects move on so as to make sure that we do not forget about those issues that has been asked to us.
Well, many people have raised that, and we have always been at pains to say that if this committee has said the matter should be referred to the board, it always has been referred to the board. It's formally in now Michael's report of the committee meetings with a recommendation that comes from this committee of what the board should do, and the board is asked to consider that. So I'm not sure what it is that people are expecting, that if we say the board should take into account, for example, an issue of in its post-implementation review, should follow up on IFRS 8 on the following grounds, and the board says, yes, thank you for telling us that, we're not going to do it. Do you want it to come back to this committee so we discuss it again? Because all of these decisions are reported in the ISB update. So if you want, I think we've tracked through this to confirm over the past several years, the issues that have been reported in the IFRIC update as matters to be reported to the board, which is the basis of the 6 items in here for last year, have gone to the board, have been the decision of the board, even if it's been a no-action decision, has been reported in the ISB update. So I'm not sure what else you want us to do.
If I can respond, I think there are different categories of issues that have been brought to the board, where sometimes the board has abandoned some projects. And I recall, for example, a couple of IS-12 issues where effectively IFRIC had concluded that we would not deal with the issue because there wasn't a revision to IS-12. And we know that today there is no significant revision to IS-12 going on. So, you know...
Well, it's not going on now, but it had gone on at one time, and most of the respondents came back and said, much as we hate IS-12, we don't like these amendments, so don't do anything. So the board then said, fine, we won't proceed with the project, we'll make some limited amendments out of issues that we now have another question coming back on. So I just question whether it's the role of this committee to want to follow up on these things all the time if the board won't take it on, having decided that it's not an issue that we should address, that we discuss it again, and what conclusion are we going to come to? Scott?
I don't disagree with what you just said, Bob, and this may be more of a discussion for when we discuss the committee's effectiveness, but one of the things that I think is troublesome or could perhaps be troublesome for the IASB as a whole are these situations where we say there is a problem, there is diversity, guidance could help. We don't think we're the people to do it. We think the board ought to do it, and then the board says we're not going to do it. So now, you know, collectively, the record is that IFRIC thinks there's a problem and guidance could help, and nobody's working on it.
Yeah.
And, I mean, maybe the follow-up there is simply more clarity from the board. Board, when you decided you weren't going to tackle this, is it because you decided no guidance is necessary, in which case, fine?
Yeah.
Or is it just you decided you don't have time? And if that's the case, board, would you like us to take a crack at it, even though we originally thought you'd be better? I mean, have you essentially decided we'd be better? you know, we can't order the board to do something or to work on something, but I think effectively the board can order us to work on something. So that's about the only follow-up that I'd consider is if we refer and the board doesn't take it up, for the board to say why, you know, is it that they concluded no guidance is needed here, in which case everybody's done, or was it an issue of time, in which case, you know, is there something we can do to help? And I suspect that if the board thought there was something we could do to help, that would have come up, but, you know, perhaps it's just making it clear.
Well, maybe something that we could do fairly simply then to complete the cycle. I think I'd agree with Laurence that by publishing this, it is helpful for people to understand what we have been doing and where we haven't been able to complete what ideally we would have thought. But for those matters that we refer to the board, that perhaps we should have a formal report back at the next, well, not at the next meeting, but at a meeting subsequent to the board's consideration of our comments to report back to this committee what the board's conclusion was. And if the board decided it would not take on the issue because it felt it didn't currently have time, but that it would incorporate it in a review, post-implementation review or some other review of the standard at some time in the future, then we can note that so that the IFRIC records are complete as to what the disposition was. But once we decide that we're not doing something and it goes to the board, then I think from then on it's for information only. But you may have some other thoughts. Ben?
No other thoughts. I wanted to make the same suggestion. I think that's a very good approach. However, when I look at the numbers in Appendix A, it looks as if we are always rejecting due to one criterion. And as far as I remember, we sometimes use two or more of them. And how did you adjust for the double counting, or did you just...
I didn't ever count. That's for sure.
Well, we have rejected 42 issues that right. Presented to us.
But you can kind of massage the numbers here by omitting, you know, if you have three criteria, you can pick one.
And you're speaking like an academic now. Remember when you were a preparer, you report the least offensive and least damaging reasons.
You use your judgment.
Sarah?
I realize we just talked about adding more disclosure and the burden of doing that, but it also might be helpful in these charts if we had kind of a chart of the nature of the topics that we addressed. Referencing a particular standard or whatnot. Because, for example, we spent a lot of time on IFRS 2 issues or pensions or whatever. And so that might be helpful as well. Now, it also even might be helpful, as long as you're over-disclosing, to kind of tie that to why we chose to not take that onto the agenda. In other words, did we think IFRS 2 was clear? Probably not, but anyway.
That's a big presumption, yes. There, of course, we would get double counting because these issues about joint arrangements and whether it's a business combination or investment properties will click up the numbers.
Right.
Do you want to see those statistics by total issues submitted? Mm-hmm. So that would include the ones that we have addressed as well as the ones that we haven't.
Yeah. But because I think it's important to know the areas where we're receiving a lot of questions from constituents and then how we deal with those questions. Are there cases where it doesn't meet the agenda criteria but because the standard is clear or because the board's still working on it or whatever? And you're right, there will be often multiple standards involved because the topic crosses over several areas.
Okay. So we're having segment information in a variety of ways.
So, yeah, the disclosure issue, right.
Yeah. Okay.
I think a matrix
as well.
Yeah, Peggy?
I had the same comment as Sarah, because I thought that it would be interesting to see what are the areas that where we haven't done any work on, where we've passed looking at it for one reason or another, and are they falling into particular categories? Because that would be an indication that if the board doesn't have a project in that area already, that perhaps we need, that something needs to be done sooner rather than later. If we keep getting questions over the last 5 years and in a particular area, and we're not seeming to address that for one reason or another.
I get the sense at this meeting that the recent publication of IFORS 10, 11, 12, and 27 has suddenly released a pent-up demand because the board no longer has a project. So how can we fix all of these concerns? So can you persuade the board not to issue any more standards for a while? Okay. I get the sense that you would like these stats, but you don't need them on a monthly, regular basis, that you view yourselves as being non-executive as far as the operation of this. It would be nice if we presented them before the IFORS Foundation was to complete its annual report, so that we have had a look at the information and can provide that input. So whether that's best done in January or I think probably in early March.
March, but, yes.
And then we'll do that on an annual basis going forward. But the staff will, of course, continue to keep this information updated on a bi-monthly basis. Ruth?
Yeah, just to support the point that Sarah and Peggy made, I think it's important, I think, to us and to the trustees to look at whether we are addressing the important issues of the day or we're just dealing with fiddly little bits of stuff that aren't important. And you can't really tell that from this sort of report. You could tell it a little bit more from the kinds of topics we receive to address. And I think that that is really important in terms of going forward. Is the IFRIC fulfilling a useful purpose? If you look at the list of the interpretations that were issued, were those really the big issues of the day that we spent so much time doing interpretations on? You could say yes for some, perhaps not for others. But yet some agenda decisions, like the one we did on significant or prolonged, that was a big issue at the time, and we dealt with it at the time. And that doesn't come up here. So I think if I were a trustee, I would ask that question. Is the
Ruth, it's very, very subjective to decide if something is a real big issue of the day, because to the person who submits the question, if it meets the agenda criteria, then it meets the agenda criteria. If it doesn't meet the agenda criteria, for whatever reason, it doesn't meet it. It's not that we have a bright line, but we have our judgments that we make on whether it's above or below that line. So anything that we take onto the agenda is presumed to be important, but how we would rank the things that we don't take on as being more or less or whatever importance is difficult to say. All of the agenda decisions are recorded on the public website. I think it's done by individual standard and date, with a description of the question and with the description of what the agenda decision was. Mm-hmm. So there is a complete listing in there. Anything that is, you know, that's a summary in itself. To try and summarize that again in another form, I'm not sure how helpful it would be, but if we have some ideas, some thoughts, we can discuss those offline later. But the message I'm getting is that there is a perception that we are not doing what those of us in this room think we're doing, and there's a perception among some people in this room who even observe what we're doing that don't think we're achieving as much as others think. So we need to communicate better to get more information out. As I was reminded earlier, we've got an information overload, so giving too much detail isn't going to help people to understand. We've got to find a way of presenting it in a clean, communicative form. All right. Anything else that Fabienne wants to raise? I didn't realize you were coming to present today, so I will thank you again for your 2 years of huge industry.
3 years.
3 years. Yes, 3 years.
Sure. He's only thanking you for the two that were helpful.
And I'm not going to comment if they were the first two or the last two.
As an experienced chairman, you can say.
I just wanted to take the opportunity to say that it's been an honor and a great experience and a tremendous pleasure to work with you, Bob, Michael, and the team, Denise, Thomas, and Lucy, and Tricia O'Malley, and Michael Cranky, and David Humphries, and Dora Chang at the time. So thank you all.
Thank you. I see Lucy sitting quietly at the back there. You don't have another paper to present, or have you got another sweep issue on stripping costs?
No.
No. Well, a big thanks to Lucy as well. But and we know where both of you are going. All right. That concludes the meeting.
Yes.
So it's a good time to take a coffee break. Thank you, and we meet again in 2 months' time.